Lord, help us to begin with hymn 999. When any turn from Zion's way, alas, what numbers do, methinks I hear my Saviour say, wilt thou forsake me too? 999.
Thank you. Let us read from God's holy word in the book of Proverbs and chapter 3. The book of Proverbs and chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble when thou liest down. Thou shalt not be afraid, yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbour, Go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbour, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray that thou wouldst now help us, go before us and direct us, as we come to thy word, that we may consider thy word faithfully, O Lord, grant us that precious gift of faith to believe, that due reverence unto thy word, that sense that we are in thy presence, Almighty God, that thou dost search our hearts. And O Lord, that we might have that solemnity, yet if it please thee to grant us that joy and peace in believing by the Spirit, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. O Lord, do help us that we may give that right honour and glory unto thy holy name. O Lord, we are utterly dependent upon thee to work mightily in us, to stir us up, to grant us that right spirit within us. O Lord, do apply the merits of thy shed blood, O Lord Jesus, by the Spirit, that we may be cleansed, there may be that fellowship one with another and with thee. There may be that peace and communion one with another that flows from that union with thee, O Lord Jesus. O, we do pray for that help now in coming to thy word. For, O Lord, it is one's desire that the word may be blessed of the Spirit abundantly to many souls. But, O Lord, I am so ignorant of each one, but, O Lord, thou knowest the cases of every one here. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to speak the word into our souls. Not the word of man, but thy word, the word of God, that may come with power, that the gospel might not come with word only, but in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. O Lord, we pray for that blessing of the Spirit. O, how we do beg that once more in our land there may be that outpouring of the Spirit in our assemblies. There might be that powerful word. And O Lord, may it be our desire that it be so, our burden that it be so, that we are submissive to thy hand, willing to be searched, willing that our homes, our lives, all about us be searched, that all things may be to thine honour and glory. O Lord, deliver us from just seeking a dead form and round of services, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, and there be nothing done in our lives, other than that we seek the vanities of this world. O Lord, do grant that there may be those heavenly, holy changes in our lives, in our hearts, in the churches, in the ministry, an outpouring of the Spirit once more in our land to see true revival, bringing in of those that are convicted by the Holy Spirit, truly taught that they are sinners and are seeking thee. O Lord, we do pray that there may be that turning again, and do bless thy servants that preach, even that are labouring this night. We pray that thou mightest water by the Spirit the word sown this day, that there may be that fruit to thine honour and glory. And we do pray for this church here, that thou wouldst bless them, uphold them, do bless our friends the deacons here in all their responsibility. Do bless them as they gather on the coming day, and thy servant expected to preach here, do bless him abundantly. And grant that the word may come with power and unction. Do bring him up in safety and strengthen him and direct him for the work, that there may be thy work appearing, that we each in the ministry may labour in thy holy name. O Lord, we do pray that there may be thy favour upon the churches. Thou hast raised up more labourers, more ministers to preach the everlasting gospel. Do raise up pastors in the churches. O Lord, we do pray for so many pulpits are empty, so many pastorates unfilled. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest come down in the midst, that thy name may be honoured and glorified. O Lord, we do pray for any that are in trouble, in need of direction, in need of help, in pain or in bereavement, in trouble, in confusion. O Lord, do appear for them. Any that are unable to come out to thy house, through illness, through sickness, or caring for others, we do pray that thou mightest be with them. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest visit with the arrows of conviction those that could be here but have not the desire to be here. O Lord, thou knowest whether the reason be a genuine one or not. And, O Lord, we do pray that there may be that searching out by the Spirit of each one, assembled here or not assembled here. We do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to bring back the prodigals that have gone away from thy house from the sound of the ministry of the gospel. O Lord, do bring them back, we pray. Oh, may we be given a spirit of repentance, an examination, that we may search out wherein we have offended. For, O Lord, we see in this land, in the ministry, in the churches, such coldness, such lifelessness. O Lord, for the most part, the Spirit is withdrawn compared to former years. And, O Lord, is there not a cause? Or may there be that honest examination before thee, and that desire, that holy zeal to seek to put right that which is wrong in thine eyes, in the churches, in the family, in our life. O Lord, do not leave us to complacency, to fatalism, to coldness, to excuses. O Lord, do appear for us, we pray. Look in mercy, for, O Lord, our sins are before us. O Lord, we do pray. O Lord, even we see in the harvest, like as in the days of Samuel, when Israel had rebelled, there was that time of rain in the harvest. There was thy sign of righteous indignation, and, O Lord, how we deserve far worse in this land and in our midst. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased in mercy to grant that the harvest may be gathered in. But, O Lord, is there not a voice to us? O Lord, we would pray for help. Do help thy servants and people that meet together this day in poverty, in affliction, in persecution, imprisoned for thy name's sake. Do appear for them, we pray, and for the sending forth of thy word to the four corners of this earth. Do bless thy word as it goes forth, we beg, to the many that seek, but that not have thy word in their hands, in their families. They cannot obtain the word. O Lord, do appear for them and their cry unto thee. O Lord, do bless the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society, the sending forth of thy word to the four corners of this earth, the translating of thy word. O how we have need of that raising up of those equipped for such a task, such a calling. O Lord, do appear, we pray. And, O Lord, we would pray now for help. Look in mercy, we beg. Grant there may be that life in our hearts, in our words, in our hearing. There may be that evidence of life when we depart from this place. That, O Lord, we may not be forgetful hearers. We may be prayerful, zealous, unto good works through the Spirit, that we may desire to know thee whom to know is life eternal, to know the preciousness of the shed blood, and to walk with thee, O Lord Jesus, giving glory to thy name. O Lord, we are so vile and wretched, but, O Lord, thy word is powerful. We would plead that thou wouldst come, O Lord Jesus, and help us. Do now help, we pray, as we come to thy word, and in worshipping thy name once more. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 632. Whoever in Jesus believes, the blessing is sure to obtain. A full and free pardon Christ gives to all that confide in his name. Nor Moses, nor Satan, nor sin can sentence believers to hell. No evil without or within shall ever against them prevail. 632.
seeking help from the Lord, I would seek to speak once more from the text we took this morning, which is in the first book of Samuel, chapter 2 and the latter part of verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and the latter part of verse 30. Them that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. This morning we particularly spoke concerning Christ. For unless Christ be first and Christ be last, there will not be that honour and glory due unto God, the triune Jehovah. There must be that preeminence, that in all things Christ, he must have the preeminence. And how, alas, we as poor sinners cannot give honour and glory to his name by nature. That rebellion within, that sin, that vileness, that outward rebellion, that disobedience to his word, that grudging following in his way rather than a joyful following in his way. So wherever we turn, there is that within us which makes us, like Apostle Paul, if we are rightly taught, cry out, O wretched man that I am, to feel the body of this death. As we sought to speak this morning concerning the blessed obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he honoured God the Father in his sacred humanity so perfectly. And as he honoured the Lord, oh how there was that honouring, and in union with him, his people are delivered from the body of this death unto the glorious light of the kingdom. And thus, if we are to rightly, spiritually honour God, and to know eternally that honour in heaven, to reign with him as priests and kings in the kingdom, it must be through the blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we spoke this morning particularly as well concerning the case of Eli, one who was a child of God, yet he had not reproved his children as he ought. But yet, when he heard the words in 1 Samuel chapter 3 from the lips of the child Samuel, who had been commanded of God to speak those words of the Lord's judgments that were to come upon the house of Eli, we read that Eli fell under the word, a mark of grace, of submission, of sorrow, contrition. It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. We spoke about Hophni and Phinehas and their terrible end, and how grievous it is in the sight of the Lord that there be that dishonouring of his name in the very house of God by those who have responsibility in the house of God. But let us come particularly to others that we read of here. Let us begin with Samuel, or rather begin with the Lord. In 1 Samuel 3, there we read of the Lord calling Samuel in the night time. Where was Samuel? As a child he was in the house of God. In his simplicity as a child he was there in obedience, and being in that right path, there we see much of an encouragement to younger friends and children. It was there that the Lord met with him. It was there that the Lord came. And is that not an encouragement to you in coming here? That the Lord may meet with you and speak personally to you, call you by name. We read that Samuel as yet did not know the Lord, and he thought it was Eli calling. But even there we see in that simplicity that he was eager to do that which Eli called him to do. And as it were, Eli was in the place of an earthly father to him, and Eli called him my son. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. What godly counsel that was, that Eli gave unto the child Samuel. Here we see, again, an evidence that the word of the Lord that was spoken by the man of God unto Eli, there was that evidence of a work of grace in Eli's heart, stirred up the falling under the condemnation, but a chastening hand. How rightly now he counseled the young child Samuel. Go, lie down. There is that counsel to wait for the Lord, wait upon the Lord. For him to speak. Hear the word of the Lord. Listen for the Lord. What a counsel that is to us. That whether we be young or old, we might have that childlike faith. To listen unto the Lord. To wait on the Lord's word. And the Lord's calling. What honour and glory is given unto God thereby. When we are found waiting. In faith, believing that the Lord will speak and will direct, desiring that the Lord would speak, desiring that we might walk with him. Is that hymn we opened with? What numbers go away? What numbers turn from the way of the Lord? What numbers there are that hear of the word of God and despise? But may we give that honour and glory unto God. To honour God before the unbelievers. To give that testimony. In holding fast unto the ways of God and godliness. But oh, how we so desire, pray, beg that God the Holy Spirit would give us faith. For without faith, it is but sin. Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. O, for a hearing ear. What honour and glory there is unto God when we hear the word. Not just hear the sounds. In one sense, we have each one of us heard the word read tonight. But have we taken heed? Will we forget on the chapel doorstep? Will we be taken up with friends and relatives and conversation and food and drink and what we'll do tomorrow? That is not honouring unto God's holy name. But is there a hearing? A realisation that it is the word of God, our Creator, the judge of all the earth, before whom we must stand one day. We won't be standing in a crowd with our friends. We'll be standing before the throne of God, face to face with the eternal Son of God. And will we see the King in his beauty, or will we see the wrath of the Lamb? It'll be one or the other. Like as we said this morning, either we honour God or we despise God. There's no middle path. Those that hear, and hear profitably, there must be that putting into practice of that which we hear. We cannot do it ourselves, but there's a cry, Lord, help me. A desire that we may walk in his ways. And if we have not that desire, well, we are forgetful hearers. Oh, may we give honour and glory unto God, and so cry unto the Lord to help us so to do. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood. Now that word, stood, it struck me in reading the passage in public this morning. I have proved time and again in the pulpit, in the public reading of the word, there has been that which has come afresh, which we never saw either in our meditations or the many other times that we've read this passage or perhaps heard it preached ourselves, but in the public reading of the word, there the word came unto our own souls. What honour and glory there is unto the Lord in the public reading of the word, in the pure word of God, holding fast to that which is honouring and glorifying to him. It is the purest part of the service, the word of God. The reading of the word is not mingled by the sin with the sins of the preacher. The hymns, though they be written by gracious spiritual men and women, they're not inspired directly by God the Holy Spirit, but this is the inspired word of God before us. The living word, and so we prove it. Do you find in the reading of the word your minds are wandering everywhere? Or is the life as you hear? Above all, it should be the reading of the word of God that we should desire to hear. I know we speak of going to hear Mr. This or Mr. That preach the gospel, but truly we have need to give honour and glory to God first. That the word of God must be first and must be last. Yes, there should be that esteem and right esteem to the ministers of the gospel, but the word of God should never be eclipsed by the man in the pulpit. If, as it were, the reading and the prayer is the time that, as it were, we switch off, because really we're wanting to hear the minister preach, well, it is good that we do hear the minister preach, but it is not honouring and glorifying to God to regard the word of God and the prayer in public, in his holy name, as anything less. The word of the Lord. It is the very word of God before us. And how often we've proved it as a hearer. Although, alas, not as many times as we have found our mind wandering in the reading of the public word, but there have been those times when the word has come with power. It might not have been that which was being preached from, but there was that which was read that so came into our hearts, that gave us joy and peace in believing, came from God. We felt again that touch as we read this word, and the Lord came and stood. Now, And called as at other times. Now there is one thing that we read here that is different to the previous two times. It's those words, and stood. We have that the Lord called. The Lord called, but here we have the Lord came and stood. Now, that description of stood. He came to Samuel, When he stood by him. There, that brings, we trust by God, the Holy Spirit to our mind, the eternal Son of God, where we read in the Old Testament, where the Lord appeared in the appearance of a man. That is clearly the eternal Son of God, and those pre-incarnate appearances. Like one of the three that came and stood before Abraham, the captain of the captain of the host of the Lord, who came unto Joshua, the angel that wrestled with Jacob, the one that Nebuchadnezzar said was like unto the Son of God, that was with the three Hebrew children in the fire. And here we read, the Lord came and stood. And Samuel now heard and knew that it was the word of the Lord. Unless there is that coming of the Lord, by the Lord, through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never hear anything to profit. We'll always hear it's the word of man, like Samuel thought it was Eli speaking. Unless the Lord come with power, we will just hear it as the word of the minister, not the word of the Lord. The word of our parents, not the testimony to the word of truth. Oh, if the Lord comes, the Lord stands. How it was with those in the New Testament days, in the ministry of our Lord, when the Lord came. What power, what changes there were. Think of Zacchaeus, whom the Lord called down. What a change there was to Thomas when the Lord appeared unto him, how he had backslidden, how he had said that he would not believe. He would not receive the testimony of his fellow apostles, but the Lord came. And he spoke peace unto each of them, but he would speak those words of reproof unto Thomas. But he showed him his hands and his feet and his side, where the blood had flowed. Though there was a reproof, yet there was a blessing. There was that evidence that he'd shed his precious blood and risen again for him. Is there not hope for us who have so vilely behaved, so vilely dishonoured the name of God? Even if we have known his precious name and yet have dishonoured him. Well, the Lord came and appeared unto Thomas, who said, I will not believe. The Lord yet came, for he'd shed his precious blood for Thomas. He'd washed away the sins of unbelief as well. The Lord came and stood and called. There was the word of the Lord. And the Lord came unto Samuel. The Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, came unto him. And he heard. We have that with Ezekiel. That vision that Ezekiel had of the glory of God by the river Chebar. And the climax, as it were, of the vision is that throne. And one upon the throne like unto a man. And the rainbow round about. That is Christ, the eternal Son of God. And when he spoke, the Spirit entered into me. And so it was with Samuel when that word came, when the Lord himself came. And stood by him. And called. As at other times, Samuel, Samuel, then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. Now Samuel, as a child, called as a prophet, even as a child. And there before him was that weighty, solemn word that he must speak unto Eli, and how he feared as a child to speak unto the high priest, one who was, as it were, in the place of a father to him, caring for him, but the Lord's anointed. Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Here again we see the grace of God in Eli, that having perceived that the Lord was speaking unto Samuel, he said, Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? Now Eli was wishing to know the word of the Lord. What had the Lord said? For we read at the beginning of this chapter that the word of the Lord was precious, literally in the original rare. It was rare to hear the word of the Lord in those days. There was no open vision. And Eli had evidently got that desire to know what the word of the Lord was. Now there's an honouring of God. If we come to the house of God, if we come to the reading of the word of the Lord, whether in public or private, and there's an earnest desire to hear the word of the Lord, that is when the Lord will honour. For the word of the Lord is true. They that seek shall find. They that ask shall receive. They that knock, the door shall be opened unto them. Where there is that true seeking of the Lord, the word of the Lord will speak. In the case of Eli here, it was solemn words again, but he fell under them. Samuel told him every whit. Literally, we read in the margin, all the things or all the words. He's faithful to deliver all the words, and so it is in the ministry. The Lord has not called me to speak that which is pleasing to the flesh, nor to entertain the people, nor to avoid the issues that should be declared, not to paper over the cracks, beat about the bush, but to declare the whole counsel of God, not fearing men's faces. Oh, how we trembled at that thought when I was about to be sent out into the ministry. How I feared to speak plainly. Feared the faces. But I was reading Ezekiel, and I'd read Ezekiel chapter 1. I came to Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3. That the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who had appeared unto Ezekiel in glory and had spoken, and the Spirit had entered into him, spake the word, and it was a word with power, that he was not to fear the faces of them to whom he was to speak, and he wasn't to speak comfortable, smooth things to them. But as the Lord commanded, so the Lord gave the power. And I felt in some small measure, and by faith I was enabled to lay hold of it, that hope that when the Lord would send me forth, I would be given that strength, that natural fear would depart. And we proved it to be so. But as regards each one of us, Samuel was faithful to the word. And are you? There is an honouring of God when we are faithful to the word of God. Faithful in our lives, in our families, in our church. And we read concerning Samuel, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. What a blessing that is. Samuel grew. There was a growth in grace, not just a natural growth from a child into an adult, but there was a growth in grace and a knowledge of the Lord. The Lord was with him. Emmanuel, God with us, Christ. The Lord was with him, and we read concerning Samuel, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. There he hearkened unto the word of God. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, that is, from one end to the other, from the north to the south end of the land of Israel, knew that Samuel was established. And the marginal reading, another rendering that the translators have given for established, is faithful. Samuel was faithful to be a prophet of the Lord. Established. How did they know he was established? Because he was faithful to the word of God. And how is it that we know a work of grace? See a work of grace. What is the evidence? By their fruits shall ye know it, know them. By that evidence in a life that the word of God has come with power, that there's that change. There's an honouring of the God of Israel. It's real, it's seen, it's genuine in the life, there's a change. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. But let us consider for a moment Hannah. We did not read chapter 1 this morning, but I'm sure you will know concerning Hannah, how she came to the house of God. She was barren. And what an honour and glory there was to the Lord there. She came, she brought it all before the Lord. She poured out her heart before the Lord. And the Lord heard her. There was an honouring of that petition. She was a woman of a sorrowful spirit. To this man will I look, and the word applies as in the meaning of the old English man. Doesn't just mean literally the male, but also the female as well. And in the word we may interpret it that way safely. We have the example of Hannah set before us. To this man will I look, he that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. And here was such Hannah coming to the house of God. How have you come to the house of God this night? Poor and of a contrite spirit and trembling at his word? Have got that which you so need the Lord to appear for? And it's not just of a selfish desire to have a child, but that it may be to the honour and glory of God. Hannah had an adversary, Peninnah, that reproached her. Peninnah had children, but we do not read that she had any grace. But she was not evidently slow in provoking Hannah. And when we come desiring answers to prayer for the honour and glory of God, even though we have a need ourselves, but firstly we desire the honour and glory of God in the matter, then the Lord shall appear. Them that honour me, I will honour. I shall honour, not might, not perhaps, but shall. And Hannah had that God-given faith to believe. She was no more sad. She'd come with prayer and fasting, but now she believed that she would receive. And there was that joy and peace in believing. And the Lord granted her a son, Samuel. And Samuel, when he was evidently very young, a little child, he was brought to the temple. For Hannah lent him unto the Lord. What a sacrifice that was. Her only child, one whom she'd only just weaned, to take unto the house of God. But there is a good place to take a child unto. But she was to leave him there with Eli and in the company of Hophni and Phinehas. But the Lord was gracious to preserve Samuel in such a place. And we read, and it's so striking, that prayer and rejoicing of Hannah was after she had lent Samuel to the Lord. That was when the greatest rejoicing we read of. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." By faith. In that respect, she rejoiced over the adversary, and that one, Peninnah, who had done the work of the adversary in provoking her. One might have reasoned, well, what would Peninnah say when she came back from Shiloh, went back home and there was no child? Might have said, "What a fool, whatever you doing. Now where is thy God?" But no, Hannah rejoiced by faith, that as she had lent Samuel unto the Lord, there the Lord would appear for her. The Lord would vindicate her. But she rejoiced by faith in the Lord, her Saviour. Now what honour and glory there is given unto God there, when in the midst of affliction, trial, or when we have to lay down that which we love greatly for the calling of the Lord, when there is that laying down of these things, the Lord is faithful to grant that blessed joy and peace. The Lord will not leave the Hannahs in sorrow when they've lent Samuel unto the Lord. The Lord is faithful. The Lord will appear. And he did. Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. The Lord will be debtor to none. The Lord is gracious. And so we have these godly examples before us. But let us come more particularly to the practical part of our text. "For them that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Now I desire to take it in 2 particular ways. Firstly, personally, and secondly, as a church, or churches. We take it personally. How is your life? Does it honour and glorify God? Or does it bring shame? Well, let us begin with the family. What honour and glory there is unto God when those scriptural commands that we have in the Epistle to the Ephesians, that are there in the marriage ceremony, those vows for the wife to love, to obey her husband, the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. What honour and glory there is to God there in that walking in union, one with another. What dishonour there is in our present day in the estate of marriage. And alas, it is creeping into the churches, or has crept in. We know of those and many places of worship where the vows that are taken, the vows are exactly the same for the husband and the wife. Rebellion against the word of God. A lightly esteeming the word of God, considering more that everyone should be equal. Well, in the eyes of the Lord, everyone is, but the Lord has called each one to a different pathway and a different calling. How there are many that would seek to have the preeminence in all things. Wives seeking to have preeminence over their husbands. Husbands then neglecting their wives and families. Oh, may we give honour and glory to God in the family, in the home, by following the Lord's commands, the heavenly pattern that has been given unto us. Them that honour me, I will honour. I may have said this to you before, and you may have heard another minister say it, but the word joy, J-O-Y, has been likened unto this. The first letter, J for Jesus, Jesus first. O for the other second. Thirdly, Y, yourself last. And where that is walked out in the home, then there will be true joy. Where Jesus is first, the other is second, yourself last. Then there will be joy, then there will be peace. Then there will be an example unto the children and to those around. Evidence that we have been with Jesus. Or may we have grace so to do. And children being obedient unto their parents, not challenging their every word. Seeking to go their own way. Desiring all the worldly things around that they see somebody else have, even if it's somebody in the chapel has. And they want it because they've got it, not because they need it. Not because it's for the honour and glory of God. How worldly we have become. We see what somebody else has got and we must have it ourselves. Not fair that somebody else has got that and we haven't. Where's the honour and glory to God there? Are we not in the latter part of the text? Unless the Lord appear, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Is it not a despising of the word of the Lord? Now the word honour, them that honour me, I will honour. If you look up in a analytical concordance, the word honour has the sense of to make heavy. Therefore we see the comparison. Them that honour me, as it were, see the weightiness of the word of God. The honour and glory of God is a weighty matter, as opposed to them that are the light esteeming of these things. Is the word of God a weighty thing with you, or is it so weighty, those temptations and lusts of the flesh, to have everything in this life? Oh, may the Lord deliver us. Deliver us from such vanities. Lighter than vanity. Truly, in God's eyes, they are lighter than vanity. Oh, that the Lord would give you and I the clearness of sight to see. To honour him in our lives. That we may turn our backs on these vanities. Turn thou away mine eyes from beholding vanity. So many inventions in our present day that dishonour God. Time would fail us to name them all, and it wouldn't be profitable, but we could start with a television. There was a brethren man I was once in hospital with. We were both in for an operation. And I believe he was a truly converted man. And we had profitable fellowship together. I was a student and he was perhaps in his 60s. And we were saying about television. I'd been delivered from the device that it nearly damned my very soul. And he said about an elderly man that he knew. And one of these salesmen had got to speak to him and to get into his house and to say to him all the benefits of the television and all the nature programs he might be able to see. And all how nice it would be. And the man was almost about to agree. And then this salesman, as it were, to give his clinching statement, and it'll bring the world right into your living room. And immediately that brother in Christ, as he evidently was, saw. He was to bring the world right into his living room. And he didn't want the world, he wanted Christ. And the snare was broken. The devil overreached himself. As my pastor often says, and quite rightly so. But does that not summarise the television? It brings the world right into your living room. Oh, may we be delivered from it. And to beware of the computer and the internet. We have need of using these things in various ways, but how careful we need to be. Are we using it for the honour and glory of God or for our entertainment? Them that honour me, I will honour. And that honouring should be in all things in our life. What about our holidays? Where do we spend them? Do we spend them where we may worship God? Or are we forsaking the assembling together of ourselves? Assembling not together in the house of God? When we take a holiday, are we desiring that it be at a place where we know there is a sound ministry? Are we desiring that we may be refreshed in our souls, not just in our body and mind? And the Lord is faithful. We may not be going to the most beautiful holiday destination, but if the Lord is there, what a blessing it is. There is an honouring and glorifying of God. By faith in Christ Jesus are we seeking him, that he may be with us. If we desire to leave our religion behind when we go on holiday, it is a worthless religion, a vanity. It shall not stand the day of the coming of the Lord. And in our work, our employment. And I'm sure many of you younger people, younger friends, who may be going out into university or into employment or changing employment or whatever it may be. Is it for the honour and glory of God? It may not be the best paid job, the best career, or it may be, and it is a most honourable career, as we spoke of with Hannah, the raising up of children. Whatever it is it that seeking to know it is the calling of God, wherever it may be? Then God is honoured and glorified, but if we're trying to follow the fashionable career, and many make shipwreck that way, go to university. Their main desire is their career. And what shipwreck? But for the grace of God, many have made there. But whatever, whether it be university or whether it be in the home as a mother, whatever it is, if we are seeking the honour and glory of God, it will be well. The Lord will be faithful. The Lord was faithful to Hannah. He's not changed. Great is thy faithfulness. It hasn't diminished. Nor will it diminish. The Lord is faithful. If there is that sacrifice that we have given to the honour by faith, the honour and glory of God, the Lord will not be a debtor. He wasn't for Hannah and he won't be for you either. The Lord is faithful. But let us come to the subject in respect to the church. Them that honour me, I will honour. We will begin with the Word of God and the preaching of Christ. As we've said before, there must be that preaching of Christ preeminently for the honour and glory of God. Preach the Word, preach Christ, preach the Word incarnate and written for the honour and glory of God. And there must be a desire that Christ is preached. We may have them. You may have many pressing providential cares and concerns, but if you bring them into the house first, seeking first these other things, no matter how pressing they are, the word of the Lord is true. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. So often we ask amiss, because we either desire to consume these things upon our lusts, or we have things the wrong way round. Our case, whether it be some need in business or at school or amongst friends or our sickness in our body or grief of mind or bereavement or whatever it is, and that's all consuming, and that is all that we seek when we come to the house of God, some word concerning that, alas, we seek amiss. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first Christ. Now, for years I was in a pathway of considerable loneliness, having no brothers or sisters, nor cousins either, nor uncles or aunts. And being moved away from my church at Southampton, it was a very trying time, a wilderness time, even having to live many miles from the nearest chapel friend as well. What a time of darkness and temptation. Now I was prayerfully seeking a wife, a godly partner. But alas, for quite some time, I was seeking amiss. And other matters I was seeking in as well, in my providential circumstances. And the Lord did not give that answer that I was seeking. The trouble just seemed to get worse. The darkness darker. My mind more troubled. But at length, my health started deteriorating in quite an alarming way. But it was to bring me to this. And the Lord in his mercy did. It was to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To seek, when coming to the house of the Lord, not a word to direct me in this and that, but a word that would lead me unto Christ, that would show forth the word of God in his glory and his beauty. And yes, when I was brought in such a spirit, there the Lord did direct me and the Lord did lead me in the right way to bring me together with my dear wife, who before we'd started courting, we'd hardly ever met before. Very much like the fulfillment of what we read in Genesis concerning Isaac and Rebekah. It was of the Lord, very much so. The Lord brought us together. But there had to be a seeking of the Lord first. Not because I was wanting to get what I wanted, but out of the whole heart. Desiring the Lord and a submission to the Lord's hand. It was impossible myself, but the Lord granted the grace. The Lord giveth grace unto the lowly, and the Lord in his mercy brought me down to a very low place, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. He granted that heavenly wisdom, that wisdom that was from above. And the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful to answer prayer. But Christ must be first and Christ last. But in the church, the word of the Lord must be first. And we must see the purity of the word of God. That's why I hold fast to the authorized version in the English language, a faithful, godly translation that gives the honor and glory to God. That sets forth clearly the divinity of Christ. The glory of God in Christ Jesus. Now we have a word in Deuteronomy about And we'll turn to it so we may quote it exactly. Deuteronomy 22, in chapter 22. Verse 9, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Now there are many who sow their vineyard with diverse seeds. One translation of the scriptures in the pulpit and another in the pew or in the Sunday school or in the home. I say woe unto you if you're using a different version for the children as to the pure word of God. The word of God is true. The fruit of thy vineyard will be defiled, and it was true then and it shall be true now. Let us cast such things out of the home. Let us seek unto the faithful word of God, that the lambs and the sheep they feed together. God is faithful, let us give him the honour and the glory. Not these modern perversions of the word of God. Not the product of apostate theologians, not the product of secular publishing houses for profit. Many of whom, on the one hand, will publish a Bible, on the other hand, publish the vilest of filth. All to make profit for the one corporation. Let us turn from such things. Let us not give them unto the children. If we desire that our children should have pure food naturally, for we know a child is more susceptible to poison than an adult, why do we give such things spiritually to our children? Why do we give the corrupt word of God to a child and not the pure word of God? I speak these things, I've not visited your houses, but the Lord sees. And perhaps you, those of you who are not parents yet, may these things be remembered. May be burnt in your soul to hold fast to the pure word of God and to teach your children that which you have been taught. There is honour and glory given unto God. And may these things be held fast in the church. We have the heavenly path. Pattern of the ordinances of God's house. What honour and glory there is in those who have been brought by saving faith to believe with all the heart. There are different, as it were, levels of assurance that the Lord's people are brought into and at different times in their lives according to the sovereign mercies of God. But this was that great credential that the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, had, that he believed. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't actually read about what level of assurance he had, but he believed. With all the heart, he believed. Now we need to give honour and glory to God and the word of God, not by adding all sorts of human, denominational or other traditions to what the credentials of one coming before the church should be. But let us go to the word of God to give God the honour and the glory, not the tradition. Too often we have ears for those things and not the word of God. But what honour and glory there is given unto God by that profession of what the Lord has done for our soul. And in the church, the pattern of that right order of pastors and deacons, members. How we have that need as churches to venture upon the word of God. For them that honour me, I will honour. The word of the Lord is true, it is faithful. How we have that need of venturing upon the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Them that honour me, I will honour. And those disciples that, and the Lord's people in every age and those churches that have ventured forth, as it were, in sowing the seed, in spreading the word, though feeling themselves to be nothing, yet in humility and seeking the honour and glory of God, the Lord will appear. But woe unto us if, as we were speaking with friends in the interval of worship, woe unto us if we see a stranger come in, perhaps one who does not look anything other than, perhaps we've heard of cases of what those who come into a house of God looking like the demoniac, or at least those that very much look like the publican and the sinner. But woe unto us if we say within ourselves, ah, I'm glad that one hasn't come back again. Or as they're sitting there, well, we hope he doesn't come back. Like those around Jesus that wanted blind Bartimaeus to be quiet. Or that would send away the Syrophoenician woman that crieth after him. That is not honouring to God. The Lord will not honour our churches if it is so. And may, when we come in prayer and repentance, for truly the Lord has a controversy with us, may it not just be a formality where we know the Lord has a controversy with us and we'll have prayer and confession and we're just the same again year after year. May there be that true honouring prayer and confession and repentance that is genuine and real. Them that honour me, I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £685, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there will be special services tomorrow when Mr. Pocock is expected to preach at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 6:15 in the evening. Tea will be provided and the collection will be taken for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Ince is expected to preach and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service, and also to address the Sunday school. Hymn 1149. What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest, unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. 1149.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.